want to turn this around a little bit as we have our path A, path B out here. And we're going to look at two things right here, okay? We're going to look at path A as being salvation. Salvation. And then we're going to look at path B, or we're going to say salvation or the cross. And on path B, we're going to look at causes. Okay, causes. You got salvation or the cross, or we're going to have causes. Okay? All right, so if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word, we're going to read Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Luke 15, verses 1 through 10. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him." This is Jesus. So all the tax collectors and the sinners were drawing near to hear Jesus. Okay? "And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he told them this parable." This is going towards the Pharisees and the scribes. "He told them this parable. 'What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in open country and go after,'" underline the word "go after" if you have your Bible out, "'go after the one that is lost,'" underline the word "lost." "What one does not leave and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing." Look at that word "rejoicing." Underline that word "rejoicing." "And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more," what? "Joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who needs no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin and does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently," see that word "seek diligently," "until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying," what? "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I lost. Just so I tell you, there is, one more time, there is before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Let's pray. Father, I come to you today and I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. And Father, that we would join in the joy of heaven. That the things that makes heaven celebrate, we would celebrate that. That what you're excited about and what you're concerned about and what moves you would move us. Father, forgive us if we ever let a cause take us away from the passion to seek and to save the lost. Lord, help me to preach plain and clear. I understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth. I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. In this parable, we get to hear the heart of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We get to hear what he's passionate about. And I think that the job of the church is for us to be about what he's about. The things that excite him ought to excite us. The things that move him ought to move us. That we ought to be people who are passionate about seeking to save the lost. Why is that? Well, when Jesus came, he went into the temple one day, and he was asked to speak, and the scroll was open to Isaiah. And Jesus read this. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he went back and sat down and said, "Today this is fulfilled in your hearing." What's he saying? He's saying, "I have come to set the captive free. I have come to find that lost sheep. I have come to find the lost coin. I have come to find and redeem those who do not know and are disconnected from the Father. I'm coming to get them back." And so as he's making his disciples, and he's calling his disciples to follow him, he calls a young man by the name of Levi. We know him as Matthew. Matthew wrote one of the Gospels. And he calls Matthew to come out. But whoa, now Matthew, he was a tax collector. He wasn't the one that you would think would be a follower of Jesus. And what Levi did is something that we all need to do. What did he do? What did Matthew do? When Matthew encountered the Messiah, when he encountered Jesus and realized that Jesus was who they were waiting for, he wanted his friends to know and meet this guy. You see that? He knows Jesus, so he goes and he has a party at his house. He throws a Jesus party, come and meet Jesus party. He throws this celebration at the house, and Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. He brought his friends. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" This is what Jesus said to them. "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You see that? He came to call sinners to repentance. He didn't come to call the righteous, but the unrighteous. There was another man by the name of Zacchaeus. You all remember Zacchaeus? We talked about him earlier in the year, at the beginning of the year, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, he was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And then one day he passed that way and looked up in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, because I'm going to your house today." And he brought salvation. He was not a well-liked person. He was a tax collector. Oh, and the scribes and the Pharisees, they got all, they couldn't believe, why would Jesus be talking to him? And here's what Jesus said in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Amen. You see that? Why did Jesus come? To seek and save the lost. And so when he gathered his disciples together, before he is about to die and ascend back to the Father in heaven, he said this to them. He said, "My peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Well, why did the Father send the Son? To redeem the world. Now, we're not the redeemers of the world, are we? We don't save people, but he sends us out now to declare the good news of the one who redeems the world. You see that? So the Father sent the Son to redeem the world, and then the Son sends out his followers. Why? To preach the gospel, to preach good news, to declare the message of salvation so that people will come to know him and be saved. And that's what excites heaven, right? We read the parables. The guy loses a sheep. He goes out there and he finds that sheep. And when he finally finds that sheep, puts the sheep on his shoulder, and what's he do? He throws a sheep finding party, right? Woohoo! I found my sheep. Let's have a party. Let's invite our friends and family over and let's celebrate because I found the sheep. Jesus says, just like the celebration over that sheep, the explosion of praise in heaven breaks out and all the angels rejoice when one sinner repents. Just like that woman that lost that coin and she can't find it anywhere and she looks all over the place. How many of y'all have lost something before? Have you all ever lost your phone? Oh, Lord. Right? Earth, I mean, it's over. Can't find my phone. I mean, you'll look. How many of you all have forgotten your phone and you've headed out of the house? 2 miles down the road, you go, what do? You turn around and go back. I tell you what, if that was your Bible, you wouldn't do that, would you? Well, Pastor, my Bible's on my phone. Good try. Good try. Don't believe it. I don't believe it. But when you find that lost coin, she finds that lost coin and there's so much joy. She calls her friends over and says, "Man, I found my coin. Come over. Let's celebrate." He says, "I tell you, in heaven there is more joy over one sinner that repents." Why do we not get excited about the things that God gets excited about? Why don't we join in the joy of heaven? But no, here's what we like to do. Here's what happens. Now, this is going to offend some of you today, because we can all lose sight of the cross and get wrapped up into causes, and it can happen to all of us. And if we're not careful, Satan will have us over on path B and forget about the people that need salvation. And so it usually takes 3 or 4 people to get together and gripe about things, right? And complain and get all into a cause. So what we're going to do over here is we're going to draw some stick people. These aren't representing the people that are upset or wrapped up in a cause, but these are going to represent those who are lost. Okay? So you've got folks over here that need salvation. And then we get folks over here that gets all wrapped up into certain causes. Our tradition. Well, we've never done it that way before. No. I'm Baptist. Oh, I'm a Baptist. Oh, I'm a Methodist. Oh, I'm a Pentecostal. I really got the Holy Spirit. And we get talking about our tribes, and we get so wrapped up into our denomination that we forget that there's people over here dying and going to hell. Our pet doctrine. Oh, our little pet doctrine that we love to talk about and talk amongst ourselves with, right? I went to the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. It's a Baptist seminary, but it's more Reformed than it was Baptist, because I heard about a guy I'd never heard of before. His name was Calvin. His name was John Calvin. And I heard a lot about John Calvin, and you know what? I heard more about Calvin on campus than I did about Christ. I heard more about Luther than I did about the Lord. And I said, there's a problem here somewhere. We're all up in here talking about Calvin and not telling our lost people about Christ. So we've got our pet doctrine over here, and they're all sitting there talking to each other about Calvinism. And so I asked him, I said, how many people have you shared Jesus with this week? And they sounded like you. They were silent. But we talked about our pet doctrine, you know. We can get wrapped up into eschatology sometimes, you know. Are you pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib? I'm a pan-trib. You ever heard of that one? It's all going to pan out in the end. Here's what we know. Jesus is coming back, so you better be ready. He's coming back. He said he's coming back. Whether we're raptured up before, or we're raptured up in the middle, or we got to go through the whole thing and then we get to there, we're all getting to heaven sometime. We do believe that Jesus is coming back. So if you don't know Jesus, guess what? You need to be saved. So if we're talking about eschatology, it ought to drive us to these people over here who need to hear about his second coming. If you want to really get to me and tip your hand that you're not as spiritually mature as you say you are, you'll say things like, oh, I'm afraid that we're wide and not deep. I've heard that. What is deep? Because a lot of people who say they're deep are the very people who attack the church, try to cause division, and try to cause splits. So what is deep? I believe that we have messed up discipleship in the church. We have equated Bible study with discipleship. Bible study is only one part of discipleship. That's one piece of the pie. Yes, you need to be in Bible study. Yes, you need to know your Bible. Yes, I'm a man of the book. I read the Word of God all the time. And I study hours. And I love God's Word. But if my Bible study doesn't move me to have a concern about those over here who do not know Jesus, guess what? That's not a good Bible study. If I don't have a passion to see the lost be saved, then there's something wrong. My Bible study ought to move me to have the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what was the heart of the Lord? That the lost be found. So as I grow and know more about Jesus, I need to love him more, follow him more, line my life up with following his commands and living a righteous, blameless, holy life, living out my faith, walking it out in such a way. All the while, I'm inviting others to the table. So deep means knowing Jesus and loving him with such a passion that you want to see other people know him as well. Amen. Going along with pet doctrine, a few years back I was at Pines on Main and we're having a yard sale. And this lady came up to me, she was at the yard sale, and I was talking to her. I was inviting her to church. We tell her we're starting church. She goes, "Oh, I worship the way that Yahshua worshiped." I'm like, "Are you a Messianic Jew?" She's like, "Oh, no. I just follow Yahshua." I said, "Okay." I said, "Yeah, Jesus. I've took Hebrew, studied Hebrew, had a year of Hebrew, had to translate Hebrew, right? Bav Rashit, Bav Ra, Elohim, Ha Shemayim, Ha Eretz, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Okay. I said, "Well, we like to worship Jesus, who is Yahshua." And she's like, "We like to worship the way he worshiped." I said, "Well, we like to worship the way that Christians worship. Because you see, Jesus came to fulfill the law and to redeem us. And the church in its infant stage always worshiped Jesus as Lord." That's not how the Jewish people worship Jesus. We worship Jesus as Lord. And so there's all kinds of things that we can get wrapped up in that if we're not leading people to Jesus, it does no good. Name it, whatever it is. Whatever pet doctrine you have, whatever tradition you have, if it doesn't lead people to Jesus, it's not going to work. Gyms. "Well, I don't believe the church ought to have gyms. I just don't think that's what churches ought to be about, is gyms." Well, here's what I think. I think that there are hundreds of kids that have went and been a part of our gym, and there's been families come through this gym, and there have been people who have come to know Jesus as Lord because they first came to this church through a gym. Amen. If Jesus called us to make fishers of men, then guess what? That gym is a huge net so that boys and girls and families can get together and they can have birthday parties, celebrations, wedding things, basketball, football skills and drills. However we can get one of these people over here that does not know Jesus to know Jesus, that's a blessed thing. But, you know, we can get all cut up and say, "Oh, no, I just don't think that's right." Political causes. Politics. Oh, we can get so caught up in our politics, right? "Oh, I tell you what, we get so concerned about who's running the White House. Like old Dave Ramsey said, he goes, it doesn't matter who's running the White House. The question is this, who's running your house? Right? I wish the people who were so concerned about keeping illegal immigrants out of our country would be as concerned about keeping people out of hell. And I wish the people who were so concerned about getting illegal immigrants into our country would be more concerned about getting people into heaven. Amen. Huh? Oh, but we can sit there and we get up there and put our politics, and we can sit there and talk about the Republicans and the Democrats and how all this stuff's wrong. All the while, guess what's happening? People are dying and going to hell. But we're worried about this stuff. Social causes. Socialism, it's called the social gospel. It's nothing new. It was back in, it's during liberalism was at its heyday. The belief that the church's job is to make sure people get fed. That's not the main job of the church. Now, we can feed people as a church. We can clothe people as a church. But the main job of the church is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we feed someone, guess what? We feed them in the name of Jesus and share the gospel with them. That's what Jesus did. That's what the disciples did. They met needs, but they also let them know the one who met that need. And so we can get all wrapped up into all these social agendas and these social causes, and we can think that we're doing all of this good stuff and that we are missing all the while, guess what? People are dying and going to hell. Because if you feed somebody and you do not share the gospel with them, all they do is get their belly fed and they still die and go to hell. We've even got a group of social activists in our high school. We got this real problem. You know that? It's a problem. We had some kids have to eat cheese sandwiches. And we've started a boycott and picket. Well, let's bring our lunch. Well, that's something that we've been doing for years. Okay? You pay your bill. I told Caleb, I said, son, because he'll tell me every once in a while, he'll say, I need some money on my account. All right, here you go. Put money on your account. I said, listen. I said, if you don't have money on your account and they hand you a cheese sandwich, you say thank you. That's grace. That's grace. That's grace because you know what the Bible says? If you don't work, you don't eat. I tell you what, have an experiment, you high school students. Go to a cafeteria at the hospital or a college campus or whatever. Get you a big plate of food. Go up to the line. Go, oh, I ain't got any money. They ain't letting you have that tray. No money, no food. And they say, well, where's my complimentary sandwich? You ain't getting that either. We had a 16-year-old girl get killed in our community. And we did her funeral. And we're worried about cheese sandwiches. I wonder what would happen if our youth got as excited and motivated about those lunch situations as they did about their friends who do not know Jesus. Huh? I wonder what would happen if they got a fire and they said, you know what? We're going to start something. We've got friends who don't know Jesus. We got friends that if they don't accept him, they're going to die and go to hell. What would happen if they got motivated and used some of that energy to really pour into something that's really going to matter? Because you know what? I was at a funeral. I was involved in two funerals. And the thing that made all those three funerals bearable was that all three of those folks knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the day, what James says is true. Life is but a vapor. It is here for a while and it's gone. And it doesn't matter about all of this stuff if you don't know Jesus. And our friends and our family and our loved ones and the ones that we go to school with and the ones that we work with, if they don't have a saving relationship with Jesus, it doesn't matter what we talk about over here. If they don't know Jesus, when they die, they will not enter heaven. You see how we can easily be swayed to get over here on this side, and we miss the most important thing, salvation. After those two parables of the sheep and the coin, Jesus goes and he shares the parable of the prodigal son. Many of y'all know that parable. The one son asks for his inheritance early, and he goes and squanders it off. And then he finally comes to his senses and he comes back to the father's house. And the father rejoices and celebrates. He says, "Here's my son. Put a ring on his finger. Put a robe on him. Put sandals on his feet. For he was dead and now he's alive. He was lost and is now found. Kill the fattened calf and let's have a party. Let's celebrate because he has come home." And the older brother wasn't there, and he comes to the house, and all of a sudden, he hears this noise and celebration. And he says, "What's going on?" And the servant says, "Your brother's back, and your dad is throwing a party, and we're having a celebration because he's back." And the Bible says in this parable that he refused to go in the house, and he was angry. Why? Because he was moral. He was good. He was the good one. He was the good son. He was the righteous one. He didn't squander his dad's money. He didn't go out there and act crazy. He stayed right there in the house. And the father comes out and says, "Son, what's going on? You're missing the party." He says, "I've served you my whole life, and I've never given you an ounce of trouble. And then this son of yours, he goes out there and wastes everything. He comes back, and you're throwing him a party. I'm ticked. I'm mad. I don't like that." He says, "Son," he says, "all that I have is yours. You could have anything. Anything in my house belongs to you. But your son, he was dead, now he's alive. He was lost, now he's found. We have to rejoice. We have to celebrate." What a shame it is to be on this side and all huffed up, puffed up about whatever it is and not be able to celebrate when someone gets saved. He had it all. He had everything. He had the joys of what the Father had. All he had to do was to receive it. Guess what? We are children of God, those of us who have been saved. We have all the blessings of God. We have all the pleasures of God. We have the right to walk in the power of God. We have the right to walk in His peace that passes all understanding. We have the right to walk in joy and self-control. All the things that God gives us, we can walk in that. If I die today, guess what? I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven because I know Jesus. And if we're not careful, guess what? This can happen. This can happen to us. We can be saved for so long that we forget what it's like to be lost. Every one of us who knows Jesus as Lord and Savior, guess what? At one point we didn't. At one point, we were that lost sheep. We were that lost coin. We were that lost son. And someone invested in our life. Maybe it was our parents. Maybe we were brought up in church and we knew the way. Maybe it was an aunt or an uncle or a cousin or a brother. Maybe it was a school teacher. Maybe your parents didn't bring you to church, but there was somebody else. Maybe it was your ball coach, and they invested in you, and they invited you to come to church with them, and you heard about Jesus. And they went out, and they found you, and they were able to rejoice when you gave your heart and life to Jesus. Don't ever forget what it's like to be lost. Don't ever get caught up in causes. Kevin, you're a testimony for one thing that we do in this church is we'll have an Easter egg hunt. And it never fails. Every year I had a guy a couple years ago come up to me and go, "Well, it's really not Easter. You know, Easter is really a pagan." And I'm like, it's Easter. I understand we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, but we're going to have an Easter egg hunt. And you know why we're going to have an Easter egg hunt? It's because of someone like Kevin Ghost right there, who never came to church before. Wasn't interested in coming to our church. Wife started coming, an Easter egg hunt, but he loves his girls. He loves his girls, so guess what? Kevin comes to this Easter egg hunt at this church called Living Water. And then something strange happens. He comes back that Sunday. And then we have an invitation. And guess who I see walking down that aisle one Sunday? Oh, Kevin. He comes walking down the aisle and says, "I need to get saved. I need to get saved." If we can have an Easter egg hunt, somebody gets saved, guess what? We'll have an Easter egg hunt. Amen. We might need to have it more often. Maybe a summer Easter egg hunt. I don't know. Because you know what? When all's said and done, it doesn't matter. I can talk the theological jargon with you all, and I could talk about words and use words that you would think, "Wow, he's an educated man." But if a person doesn't know Jesus, it means absolutely nothing. Amen. Now here's what's going to happen. Some of you are going to be like this. Some of you are on this side right now. You're right here. And you're mad at me right now because I pointed out some stuff. But that's okay. I love you. I've been over here before. Okay? I didn't stay long, but I got there. Be back there. Here's what some of you are going to do. You're going to do this. Well, those people that come on Easter, they only come on Easter and Christmas. I'm reading your email right now, your text. Some of you think that. Some of you are like, "Well, you know, these people, they just come on Easter and Christmas." Instead of thinking like that, what about this? What about change? There's going to be some folks this year who will only come on Easter and Christmas. And so if that's the case, let's pray that the Holy Spirit will fill this place and speak to the hearts. And maybe on that one day that they come, they will receive life everlasting. And their life will be changed by the gospel. And so instead of just thumbing our nose at them and thinking, "You know what, those people, if they don't know Jesus, they will die and go to hell." And so this Easter, guess what? It's fast approaching us. How many of you all can invite at least one person to come with you? Anybody? Anybody? At least one person? At least one? Lord, some of you have no friends, absolutely. We'll help you. Because why? My aunt was a godly lady, and she loved the Lord and loved her church, loved her Bible study group, loved serving in the church, loved inviting people to go to the church, loved prayer, loved the prayer time, loved the communion. Communion was such a special part of her faith that we did it at her funeral. And she supported what was going on here. And Sunday, right before the Sunday evening service, they called and they said, we need to take her to Lexington. That was the last time I got to talk to her, where she could actually converse back with me. And I told her I loved her. She says, I'm praying for you. Praying for revival. Her life is about to end. And she's still worried about the people who don't know him. Because when death comes knocking at your door, what is going to truly matter is, have I placed my faith in Jesus Christ? Do you know him today? If you don't know the Lord, I'm going to beg you today to come and say, I need to trust in Jesus. And if you know him today, and you've gotten yourself over in some off-purpose cause, and it's taking you away from a desire to see people connect with Jesus, would you come and say, Lord, help me get back. Help me to be passionate about the things you're passionate about. Help me to have joy of what heaven has joy in. Maybe you got some lost friends, family members, friends that they need to know Jesus. Would you make this time a time of prayer? It's a time of praise, but it's also a time of prayer. Let's call upon the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave us in our sin. Lord, that you stepped out of heaven to seek and to save the lost. That's how much you care about us. So, Father, if there's a man or a woman here this morning that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, would you let them know how much you truly do love them, that they're not a mistake, that they're not unforgivable, that there's nothing that they've done that they can't come and receive your grace and mercy for today. So, Lord, if there's someone here this morning that needs to trust you as Lord and Savior today, would you just draw them up, open up their eyes, break their heart, God. And for those of us who are your children, may we be people who rejoice in the joy of heaven. And burden us, God, for our friends, neighbors, family who do not know you. And may we make it a daily habit of praying for the lost to be found. And may we live our life accordingly. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's come. Let's respond. Let's move. Let's pray. Let's obey.